Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this second Sunday in Advent. And we have a few visitors, so for those of you who are visitors, welcome. I won't embarrass any of you. I think most people can figure out who the visitors are. But I don't like attention drawn to me, so I'm not going to draw attention to others. We're a little low in number these days because of all the COVID stuff. But we are very thankful to have you with us, and we hope you will continue to worship with us. Let's see, a few announcements. I have the United Methodist Church sponsors families for Christmas, and Sue Lynn, who works over at Kingston United Methodist and has forever in a year, but don't tell her I told you that, she is in charge of it usually for Roan County, and so she's given me the names of children to sponsor. And normally we'd have nice big Christmas trees here, but we just don't this year because we just haven't been able to put them up. And they would be hanging on those, but they're not, so I have them here. If you want to sponsor a child, just ask me, and this has their information. We have one family of three children and one family of five. You don't have to sponsor the entire family unless you want to, but you can sponsor as many as you would like. But if you would like to sponsor any of the children, just get with me, and I'll give you what we have. Bible study is going to be this Wednesday, and I guess we'll have it at the church. But we've decided, and I think I forgot to tell you this, Terry, because you weren't here. We've decided to move it to 5 o'clock instead of 6 because some of the people who come, it's getting darker earlier, obviously, and that makes it difficult for them to drive. And so rather than them not be able to go to Bible study for the next few months, we just kind of opted to have it at 5 o'clock. So everyone is welcome, and we're gonna have it back at the church because Terry told us we couldn't come to her house anymore because she's mean at, no, that's not what she said. So we're having it back at the church primarily because we're able to. And we appreciate Terry and Orly offering their house up for us to use for Bible study. But we'll be meeting back at the church 5 o'clock on Wednesday. And we are still in 1 Peter. So we're almost done with 1 Peter. We'll go to 2 Peter after that. But everyone is welcome and is invited to come. And we will have a Christmas Eve service, and it also will be at 5 o'clock. You can see on your calendar that's in your bulletin. It will be at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and everyone is invited to come there. And we will do communion for December at the Christmas Eve service. So if you would like to take communion in December, that's when we're going to do it for December. So other than that, I can't think of any announcements that are going on at this moment. So let us begin with the chiming of the hour. this time, my friend Melissa will come and do the lighting of the second Advent candle.
After a chaotic year, there is comfort to be found when we pause to read, pray, and reflect over the course of the Advent season, a time when believers eagerly anticipate the celebration of Christ's birth. The second Sunday of Advent gives us the opportunity to prepare our hearts in faithful waiting, celebrate the birth of Jesus, and ready ourselves for his second coming. It's a beautiful chance to reflect on the ways prophecy has been fulfilled and to ponder what the future will bring. Psalm 46, 10 through 11 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This week, we pause to remember who God is and what he has done for us. When our lives are hurried, we only have the chance to focus on our to-do lists. Making space in our schedules for prayer and meditation helps us to better see God at work in our lives and in our world. As we prepare our hearts for the celebration of Jesus' arrival as a gift to all humanity, let's stir up in our hearts and homes a sense of anticipation. May God's Spirit transform the days leading up to Christmas into a time of holy anticipation, preparing our hearts as we faithfully await the chance to celebrate the arrival of our King. The tradition for the second Sunday of Advent includes lighting the second purple candle that is a symbol of faith. The second Sunday of Advent, we read, pray, and reflect on the hope God's plan gives us, and we meditate on the promise of Christ's coming, glory-filled return.
Thank you, Melissa. As you're able, please stand for our first hymn, which is "Once in Royal David's City." We'll sing the first verse and the last verse. And for those of you at home, if you happen to have a hymnal, it's number 250. Thank you. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed, traditional version, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring before the congregation and before the Lord all of our prayers as well as our praises. Morgan gave me a prayer request before service for your mother, correct? Morgan's mother, Helen White, has been sent to the hospital and is not doing well. And Morgan has asked for prayers for her. So we'll pray for healing for Miss White. Also, please keep continue to keep Larry and his family in your prayers. They're doing okay, but Alice is sleeping a lot, and Arville, his father, is doing okay, he said, but he's having some moments of dizziness and such, and he actually fell the other day, but Larry said because the bathroom was so small, he was in the bathroom, that he didn't hurt himself, he just fell into the wall and slid down the wall. So that's good, I mean, that he didn't hurt himself, but he's having some trouble as far as that goes. So if you will continue to pray for their entire family. And also, let's see, you may notice that Clayton's friend Elena isn't here. She claims that she doesn't feel well today, but what we really know is that she doesn't want to see Clayton. That's what it is. She's mad at Clayton. So, she thinks she may have caught a cold or something like that, but especially in the climate that we're in, she didn't want to risk exposing anyone to something. So, just keep her in your prayers, if you will, that she would feel better quickly. And off the top of my head, I can't think of any other requests. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Yes, Melissa. Okay. For those of you who weren't able to hear, Melissa has a friend named Emily that she's known for most of her life, actually. And Emily has two sons, and their father is basically using them to emotionally manipulate her. And he doesn't have custody. She has sole custody, but he wants visitation, so he has to have whatever they call it, guided visitation or whatever. And yeah, supervised, there you go. And everybody gets excited and then he doesn't show up. So, and of course it hurts the boys and it really makes Emily mad. I don't think it does what he thinks it's gonna do to Emily. I think it more fulfills that hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned kind of thing. And I think a mother scorned even more. So. But just pray for the boys especially, because, you know, they don't deserve all that. So just keep them in your prayers, if you will. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Keep Wanda in your prayers. She's still having some issues with her knees and everything, but supposedly they have all the stuff they need to decide what to do. So now they just have to decide what to do. So she's been battling what we all sometimes battle, where five different doctors want five different things and none of them want the same thing. So keep her in your prayers, though, because I know she's in a lot of pain with her knee and everything. So, and if that is all, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, may you be with all of those who are not feeling well lately, with Miss Helen White and with Elena, and others who aren't feeling well, who maybe are just dealing with the general seasonal allergy type things, or with colds, or even the flu, or pneumonia, with COVID, with many other things, Lord, that can afflict so many of us. We pray, Lord, that you would bring comfort, strength, and healing to all of those who are struggling. And Lord, during this time, whenever we start to think a little bit more about those who are perhaps less fortunate, we ask that you would be with all of those who struggle with this time of year, whether it be with finances, whether it be with loneliness, whether it be with stress, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you would be with them all. May you also be with our leaders and with our country, with all the leaders around the world. May Christ reign in the hearts and in the minds and in the souls of all people. We pray all these things in his beautiful and glorious name as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's see. Let's do our next hymn here. Number 244 in the United Methodist Hymnal. As you're able to, please stand. And we are going to sing the first and the last verses. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. And just as a reminder, you can give. There's a basket there at the door to the narthex, as well as one leading out to this door. You can give through those. You can mail in your tithe if you would like to. Our mailbox is secure. You can also drop it off in the mailbox. You can also look and see if you see mine or Wanda's car hanging around and bring it in that way. And also, if you go on our Facebook page, at the top of the Facebook page is a link for giving online. So however you feel led to give, we pray that you would follow the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And at this time, we would like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Isaiah writes, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass. All their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So for those of you who didn't get the message, this is the second Sunday in Advent. And as I told them at Chevrant, Advent is, it's changed a little bit over the course of church history. When Advent was first celebrated, it was celebrated as a remembrance or maybe as a looking forward to the second coming of Christ. But about the Middle Ages or so, it turned into a celebration not just of the second coming of Christ, but as sort of a reminder of looking back at the first coming of Christ. And of course, that's why Christmas or Christ Mass comes at the end of the Advent season. Now, we are about another 1,000 years or so removed from when all that occurred, from whenever Advent became about the first coming of Jesus as well. And of course, we're about 2,000 years removed from the original coming of Jesus. And Christmas has become kind of different in our day. Christmas is a period of time that's not always about Christ, even though it is still Christ Mass. It's about some of the teachings of Christ, for sure. The teachings about giving, about caring for the poor, about remembering those less fortunate, about remembering the downtrodden, about the common humanity of us all. But it's also, unfortunately, as many of us have noted, about gimme, 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 you know? It has become, in some ways, a season of greed. There's kind of this irony that at Christmas, we give, but we also want. And many people who aren't Christian at all celebrate Christmas. Many people who have never been to church or haven't been to church in quite some time decorate their Christmas trees, put up Christmas lights, send out Christmas cards. Christmas, in many ways, in greater society, has become a celebration of excess. But is that what Christmas is supposed to be? I think we all know it's not. But as we lead up into Advent and we have these readings, and this passage in Isaiah being one of our readings, we have to wonder to ourselves, what does this teach us about Christmas? What does this teach us about the coming of Christ? What does this teach us about God? In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah spans a period of Israel's history in which Israel is warned, you're going to be kicked out of the land. The Babylonians are going to take care of you. They're going to remove you forcibly. And there's lots of judgment in Isaiah. And there's lots of what we would call hellfire and damnation in Isaiah. But there's also lots of beauty in Isaiah. Not long after this passage that we read from today, we have the suffering servant in Isaiah, the passage of the suffering servant, which if you read it and you know anything about Jesus, you'll immediately think of Jesus. It's not that hard to picture Jesus as the suffering servant. And actually the Jewish people thought that this was about the Messiah until Jesus fulfilled it so well. And so then the rabbis who didn't want to believe that Christ was the Messiah said, it's about Israel. We were wrong. It's not about the Messiah. It's about Israel. But Isaiah 40 follows a section of Isaiah that's fairly interesting. In chapter 38, King Hezekiah, who's king at the time, gets ill, and he prays that God will heal him, and he prays for healing, and Isaiah prays for healing for him, and he gets healed. He's healed, and it's a miraculous thing, and Hezekiah praises God. Then in chapter 39, some guys from Babylon show up, and they say to Hezekiah, "Hey, we're from Babylon, and we got some letters, and we got a gift from the king, because the king has heard about your illness and your recovery." So what does Hezekiah do? He says, "Oh, this is really nice. Why don't you guys come look at the treasure house and see all the gold and silver and jewels and things that I have?" Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew that somebody was robbing my neighbor's houses, and then they showed up at my house, I don't think I would show them where my jewelry box was and what the combination to my safe was and all these kinds of things, right? But that's what Hezekiah does. He says, "Here's all my stuff. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful?" And after they leave, Isaiah comes up and he says, "Who are those guys? What do they want?" And he says, "Oh, they came from Babylon." And Isaiah says, "What did they see?" He says, "Oh, I showed them everything. All the gold and the silver and the jewels and everything. Everything. Wonderful." So Isaiah makes a prophecy. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace, all that your predecessors have stored up until this day, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left. Some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away. They will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And Hezekiah says, "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," because he thought, "There will be peace and security in my lifetime." And then Isaiah goes into the passage that we read. What do those two things have to do with each other, and what do they have to do with Advent? You know, we look at people for salvation, right? Throughout history, we've looked at people for salvation. Sometimes wonderful things happened because of those people we looked to for salvation. Sometimes horrible things happened because of those people we looked to for salvation. But Isaiah reminds us that for all their diversity, for all their beauty, for all their not so great qualities too, people are like grass and like flowers. And he says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade. If God just breathes on them. But the word of the Lord stands forever." Forever. Forever. The people in Jesus' time had a few messiahs. They had a few people that they said, this is the Messiah, this is the anointed one, this is the coming king of Israel, and he's going to kick the Romans out of the land. The Romans were the bad guys in Jesus' time, of course. And he said, they said, you know, these guys are going to free us from the Romans. And they kind of didn't. Some of them ran off with money that was collected for their war chest. Many of them were killed by Rome. None of them saved their people. And then this guy from Nazareth shows up. And I don't think we can appreciate fully how much of an insult that was. When I was preaching and serving over at Asbury Chapel, Miss Virginia Evans, who many of you probably know, she was kind of the matriarch of Asbury Chapel. She told me and a few other people one time, she said, you know, I've lived here all my life. She said, Rockwood is the armpit of Roane County. Now, she didn't mean that I know it sounds like a bad way, but she didn't mean it in a bad way. What she meant was that of the three cities that are kind of the three main cities in Roane County, Rockwood, Kingston, and Harriman, Rockwood is seen as the smelly place, the place you don't want to go, the place you don't want to be, the place that's good to be from, as far from as you can get. That's kind of how people view Rockwood. And I'm sure that anybody who has lived here for not very long at all can figure it out. I haven't lived here that long, and it didn't take me long to figure out that there's something about Rockwood that people just don't like. I don't know why. I think Rockwood is beautiful. I mean, we've got problems and all, but I hate to tell you, so does Kingston and Harriman and Knoxville and, you know, every place has its problem. But for some reason, Rockwood is, we don't have any redheads in here, so the redhead is stepchild of Roane County. That's kind of what Nazareth was. You see it when the disciples are being called and we get that, can anything good come from Nazareth? If you're from Georgia like me, Alabama is the butt of all of your jokes. If you play football, Alabama is the butt of all your jokes too. And y'all might have to protect me from Terry in the parking lot after today, since she's a big Alabama fan. No, you know, and in Alabama, all of our jokes are, or in Georgia, all of our jokes are about Alabama. What is the best thing to come out of Alabama? I-20 east and west, you know? One of my favorite jokes, I even got my friend Allison, who's from Alabama, with this one. So he said, did you hear that they had bad tornadoes in Alabama a little while back? Blew all the wheels off the governor's mansion. You know, all these great Alabama jokes. Alabama is, I mean, there's wonderful jokes about Alabama. And I can tell them because my grandmother is from Alabama, see. So I have the pedigree to be able to tell them. Nazareth was kind of the Alabama to the Georgia of Israel, if you will. So what good can come from Nazareth? This guy comes out of Nazareth and he's preaching all this stuff and it's okay, you know, he's doing some miracles, that's cool. And then he starts telling the Pharisees who have trained all their lives in the law that they're wrong. Wrong? What does he know? Who is he? Isn't he the carpenter's son? And you know, we don't really focus on this, but everybody here knows people, right? You know that the vast majority of people did not believe that Jesus was a miraculously born kid. They believe that Mary had an affair. That's what they believed. I guarantee you. So they said, who's Jesus? His dad is the carpenter, if you believe that. He doesn't really know who his dad is. You know how his mom is. He didn't study under anybody important. He speaks with an accent. You know, the people from the Galilee region had their own accent. We see that whenever Peter denies Jesus, they say, "Hey, you're with them too, right? You talk like them." So there's some accent there. He had an accent. It probably was not the most educated sounding accent. And then he started doing other things. He started talking to Romans like they mattered. He started talking to women like they were important. He started treating children like people. He started touching unclean people. And then he said we should pay taxes to Caesar. That horrible, filthy, blasphemer Caesar. Who is Jesus? If we read John 1, we find out that Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then John goes on to say that through him, everything that is created was created. Nothing that is created was created without him. He was not created, but all things were created through him. And what does Isaiah tell us? The word of our God endures forever. Now, Isaiah isn't saying word like Jesus, but we can use our brains and figure out the parallels there. Hezekiah, like any good politician, cared mostly about himself and his legacy. He didn't care that his sons would become eunuchs in a foreign land. He just cared that, hey, it sounds like it'd be peaceful during my reign. I'll be remembered for a peaceful reign. Hezekiah wasn't remembered for a peaceful reign, just in case y'all haven't read that far. That's what he thought. Who cares? Who is Hezekiah? How many people name their kid Hezekiah, right? We don't really call our kids Jesus. That's more of a Hispanic kind of thing. But we do have children who have the same name. Joshua is Jesus. Isaiah is Jesus. So if you know a Joshua or an Isaiah, you know a Jesus, right? We know that name. That name is important. People use it as a swear word, right? I mean, that's how prominent it is in our society that we even use it as a swear word. Who's Hezekiah? Yeah, he's some king that didn't do a whole lot. Brothers and sisters, in this season of Advent, as we look forward to the coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ, let us realize this one thing more than anything else. People will fail you. I will fail you. You will fail me. Your brothers will fail you. Your sisters will fail you. Your parents will fail you. Your children will fail you. Your pastors will fail you. Your leaders will fail you. You will fail yourself. Jesus Christ will never fail you. If you think he has, it's most likely because you were taught something about him that wasn't true. Notice that Jesus' last words to the disciples were, "I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age." He doesn't say, "I will prevent everything bad from happening to you." In fact, he promises that bad stuff will happen to you if you follow him. He says, "I'll be there, though. I'll always be there." Because the word of God is forever. The grass withers, the flower fades. The earth is 26,000 some odd light years from being sucked into a black hole. We still got a little while, but you know, if Jesus tarries that long, guess what? The earth will get sucked into a black hole. If it doesn't get swallowed up by the sun before that, or whatever, you know. But Jesus Christ lasts forever. He is with you forever. And the beauty of Christmas is God isn't with you in theory. God has been where you are. God has felt pain. God has felt loss. God has felt sorrow. God knows what it's like when it's too hot. God knows what it's like when it's too cold. God's been hungry. God's been tired. God knows what it's like to have people be mean to you for no reason. So when we say, "Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us," it doesn't just mean he hangs out. It means he knows what each and every one of us is going through on a personal level. And he is still there with us forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to remember during this season of Advent that you are with us always. Always. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking those blessings, may you give them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.